KPLX, mobile, monitoring.
And monitoring.
96 CLX.
X, K8HAN, how are you? It's Brian from Greenville. I'm currently in Woodruff.
The call is N6 Charlie, Lima X-ray. I'm tired, so I'm not speaking clearly, I guess.
Work?
Yeah, second commute of the day. I had to go home at 2 for the garage door guy to be there to for him to put on new springs. Pretty good, though. Good price, and they got out there after calling this morning. But I'm just tired.
Sounds like you hit that jackpot with the garage door repair. That doesn't happen very often where they come right out and it's cheap.
Well, cheap is relative. It was 300 and something bucks, but it cost me 220 just to buy the springs, the torsion springs on Amazon. And of course, it's probably an outrageous price, but, you know, it was nice to be able to stand there and watch someone that's done it for 30 years.
I know if I started messing with those springs, I might just kill myself. A lot of energy in those.
I've done it before, but, you know, I'm at the point in my life where I say, why?
Me too. I did a floor in a bathroom over the weekend, did the floor, replaced the toilets, and was crouched down for the whole, just for 3 or 4 hours. But, man, my legs are still killing me.
Last house, I tiled the whole house, and told my wife I'll never do that again.
You only do once. I came out to buy I'm out here in Woodruff to buy an air conditioner from a guy from Craigslist. Never been out this part of Woodruff before. A ham radio shack and a shed, and that's what the air conditioner's for.
And make sure it's in a populated area. I don't want to see you on the news.
There were some banjos playing as I pulled up, but I'm safe. I got away. Right now, I'm wondering how the traffic is. I'm going to head that way back.
It depends on what you mean by 85. I'm going from Spartanburg back to Greenville County, so just got off of Business 85 and on to 85. It's flowing good southbound right now.
Well, that's the way I'm going, so I'll be right behind you here shortly.
70-75. It's good until you get to the exit for the airport for GSP, but then that's my exit, so I'm usually just staying in the right lane and getting off and watching all the other people cringe.
And you do that commute every day. I'm kind of spoiled. My commute takes about, 5 or 7 minutes or so. I live over in Gower and I work at GE, so I just kind of get in the car. I'm just waking up by the time I get to work.
Turbine plant.
Many years. I'm an engineer. I work in the design group.
All right. Yeah, a neighbor of mine is retired now. He used to be the F-Series engineer there, or maybe he was the manager.
We know him.
That's the problem. I don't know. I'm getting senile.
Hey, all my neighbors are, hey, you, and what's up? At work, it's been up and down. Seems like in 20 years it's had more down than up, but it's treated me pretty well.
Yeah, I worked for GE back in the 90s, back when Neutron Jack was in charge. And been to Schenectady more times than I can count.
Turbines here in Greenville or some other part?
I was on the repair side. I was a sales engineer for the, it was under the power generation group, but it was a repair shop.
It has been scaled way, way back since the Neutron Jack days. That's when I came in, and I don't know, we must have had GE Power probably had 80,000, 100,000 people, and now we're down to about 12,000.
Insane. People disappeared, but the buildings remained.
He had Jeff Immelt at the helm for 16 years, and for some reason they just let him kept flying the company into the ground.
he did that to GE Supply.
Heard in a long time, GE Supply. I guess they went off and formed another company. It's called JetPro now, and it's not GE at all. It just kind of stemmed off of them.
Yeah, I was trying to sell it. Actually, I was selling the JetPro there for a while. Here in Greenville. Yeah, I've been in Greenville since 07, but I got out of the electrical side and went into mechanical, power transmission. And I've done all sorts of stuff. Now I'm a sales engineer at a little tiny German company that makes specialty fans.
For a company that's small, though, I was in the Navy, and then I was here, and all I know is bureaucracy and process and stuff. And I tell you what, the military does it a lot better than the corporations do.
Stuff up.
Yeah, I did a fair bit of that, too. This has been a pretty good job, though. I get out and travel quite a bit. You know, even over the last few months, I spent about a month and a half in China and another month and a half in the UAE. So even during the pandemic, I've gotten around being at power plants, helping them get started up and tested.
Coke doesn't come out the back end.
Can't collect
their share of turbine floors, but it was mainly on the steam side.
A Chinese-built steam turbine during my trip to China. It took 24 hours to get it up to base load. That's how poor that design was. Yeah, steamer. You start up the gas turbine and start making steam, and then you try to put it into the steam turbine, and it would take another 24 hours before it started to pick up loads.
It'll take 3 days just to get them to temperature.
Ones in the nuke plants and stuff like that. This one was supposed to be faster. The GE equivalent is, it starts right up.
I'm just, I've been out of it since the 90s, so I was around all the older stuff. They had pretty, really tight clearances in those things, though, so I would think you'd want that rotor to warm up rather slow. Plus, they need to do a slow roll on them just to make sure they're not bowed.
Yeah, it seems like I spent a lot of time worrying about a few thousandths of an inch between a blade tip and a static part.
That's right, especially in a gas turbine. Man, the clearances in those suckers. I've been around a few of them, mainly, I haven't been around an ad. I've been around a few of the old machines that were on the pipelines for natural gas pipelines that burn a little bit of the gas and use the rest to pump it. Been around some LM units.
LMs from the Navy. I was on a destroyer. We had four of them for main propulsion. Really, really fast response. And, you could turn on a dime and reverse on a dime and everything. They're really cool.
For power generation, the only thing I know about LMs is, man, you better have your hearing protection on double.
They put them on a truck trailer, and they'll bring them out to a place that needs power in a hurry, find a gas supply or maybe a liquid fuel supply, and start them up and start generating power, like in a hurricane or something like that.
Years ago, when was this? It was in the 90s. I was at a power gen show, and they were was looking at a design of basically an alternator, but it had magnetic bearings. Was on the power side, it had a small gas turbine, same magnetic bearing. Been waiting for that to come out. That'd be kind of cool to have for a standby.
Pretty cool. I mean, there's always a lot to learn. There's a lot of things you can do to try to make it better. Really, really, precise machining, always state-of-the-art manufacturing processes. And it's just really cool. I mean, there's a lot of other things I could be engineering that wouldn't keep my interest like this does.
Well, machining or additive manufacturing that GE is doing, that's just phenomenal. It's almost like the future. What can I say?
It's what's taken the product to the next level. We got a building here in Greenville now. It's called the Advanced Manufacturing Works. It's been built, and it has just things like that in it. It has a lot of 3D printing machines. They're doing additive manufacturing, making some really complex shapes inside parts that you could never machine, and it's made a huge difference in efficiencies and all that.
They're making some, I don't know if they're making buckets or blades, but it's, man, I just can't believe you can make internals of a gas turbine with additive machining, or additive manufacturing. That's just cool. But, I'm trying to get my space here. It's backed up a little more than normal on at 14, and the exit for 14 is about as bad.
And 146 or whatever Woodruff Road is, I think it's 146. I'm coming in that way and hoping it's not too bad going into Greenville.
That's the only thing you'll. Well, last time I was down there a month ago or so, I just was amazed at the amount of construction going on in the middle of nowhere.
On top of houses, for sure. When we first moved here, we lived out here in the Five Forks area in one of the, I call them the Yankee subdivisions, but we lived in a new subdivision out here. There wasn't anything else out here. Now, I can't even find that subdivision that's paired with all the others.
They're all vinyl villages.
In Gower, we got a 1.5 acre lot now with a lot of trees on it, and a house that was built in the 1960s, and it's solid as a rock, and you know it's filled with cedar and brick. It's really great, and the neighbors have been there since you know the 60s and 70s, and some of them have families of 8 or 9 kids or so that are all living in the same neighborhood. So it's a really cool place to live.
Off of Batesville and 14 there in Pelham Falls. Another vinyl village, but at least I got a river in the backyard.
We have one of the Greedy River tributes going through our property there, and I had to fight with FEMA on flood insurance when we first moved in. You know, you try to finance it, the mortgage company requires flood insurance, and it was ridiculously expensive because the city had done kind of a drive-by survey on our property and decided that the house could get underwater when actually it can. They spent a lot of time proving that.
We moved here from the New Orleans area. The reason we moved here was, well, it was 07. It was a little after Katrina, and my wife's family lost almost every house. We didn't, but anyway, we were tired of flooding and hurricanes, and so we said, sure, we'll do it. So then my wife made me go to the insurance company and inquire about flood insurance. They looked at me like I was an idiot.
FEMA is like ridiculously liberal with the with requiring flood insurance. I mean, I guess what they're doing is paying for all of the emergency services they've had to provide over the last few years. Like down in Katrina, they got to finance that somehow. So I think it's almost a scam. If there's water anywhere near your property, you have to buy flood insurance to finance your house.
It has to do with the flood maps that they redrew after Katrina because someone said, "Oh crap." Kind of like the Miami-Dade area and their building inspections now.
That'll get perked up quite a bit. I don't know what happened to that building, but man, I've stayed in a couple of those on vacations. You know, those condos right on the waterfront there, and it's just terrifying to think it could just come crashing down one night.
I don't know. I don't even want to think about it. There's going to be a whole lot of armchair engineering going on.
The first thing that came to my mind was thinking about what makes up a building and what could have got wrong, and then I thought, you know what, I'll never figure this out, so I'll just let the experts do it.
Well, it was the same thing. When I was in the school for my degree, we spent one whole class on what happened in Kansas City at the, what was it, the Hilton?
Was it a hotel came crashing down?
That was a Hyatt. No, there was a Sunday brunch going on and a live jazz band, and I don't know, 100, 200 people were up on one of the balconies at the Hyatt and swinging to the music, and one or maybe three levels of, you know how the Hyatts are, these three, I think three levels came crashing down.
Bum luck, right? You don't expect that. You're out there having a good time, and the next thing you know, it comes crashing down, but it is what it is.
They finally came to the conclusion that the all-thread steel that was holding up all of the weight was fine, but someone didn't calculate the proper thickness of the washer.
Pretty big things can happen when you make a mistake like that. We had a space shuttle blow up on a chance like that.
Yeah, the job I had before this, I have this job since January. I got laid off from my last job. My commute beat you. I had a 30-second commute. I had a sales job working from the house for 5 years.
I have learned that I do not like working from home. It was something, I did it for a few months, but I got back in the office as soon as they would let me.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. I was working from home, and then from COVID, I had to go start commuting. Exact opposite. Yeah, and they, my competitor was the people that supplied the O-rings for the space shuttle.
We've had problems with, things like O-rings, there are E-rings and W-rings and stuff like that, but little seals that you wouldn't expect to be all that important. Well, I mean, they're important, but you wouldn't expect them to cause a failure. They can do some amazing things when things go wrong.
All I gotta say is, where the heck were you when I was trying to break into the turbine plant when I was working for that company? I did a lot of business with the wind turbine group, though. So I know that building you're talking about, because I've been behind it there at the testing area for the wind turbine stuff.
Yeah, they built that, I guess it's been 5 or 6 years ago now. But there's a whole building that GE rents over on Butler Road, over in the Brookfield area, where our wind engineering group and services group and everybody resides. A big, big group. It's getting bigger every day.
Dan 6 CLX Friday. Yep. I spent many a day in that Brookfield building.
Amazed, because I've always thought, the government subsidizes a lot of purchases of wind turbines for both here in the U.S. and for foreign countries. And I figured one day that had to go away and, there wouldn't be any money left to buy the wind turbines. But it's still there, and I've been thinking that wind was going to go down for 10 or 15 years, and it just keeps going the other direction.
Yeah, I lost that bet a long time ago. And, and to see the total devastation of the steam plant, I just can't believe it.
I was a nuclear guy, and I've always thought that's really where the future lies, is in nuclear. People just have to realize that, it's not as dangerous as it's advertised to be. It's really efficient, and it's got energy sources that can last forever, but the world's not there yet, and we've had a lot of accidents that make people nervous, so it's going to be a while.
For years I said, how many accidents have they had with the French design, and the French did it right. They multiple companies, but they all followed basically one design versus the U.S. version, which was, let's have three or four companies design on their own stuff, and every plant is a newer iteration. It's crazy.
You said for keeping the design consistent. I know, if you look at just the U.S. Navy, there's, 500, 600, 700 submarines have been built with reactor plants on them. They're operated by teenagers, and they haven't had a single accident since the 1950s.
Had a single accident associated with the plant either. It's always been pressure hole or something else.
Unsafely, and I think that's where we should be going. We could end this energy debate really quickly if people would just do that, but that's just not how the press works.
Yeah, I know. We gotta be green. It's pretty simple math. Take the amount of energy required to charge up an electric vehicle, multiply that by the, 600 million in the U.S., and then divide by the amount of power available on the grid, you'll end up with a very fractional number.
Yeah, the electric car is probably one of the best inventions ever for the oil and gas industry, because the oil and gas industry has to make a lot more power because of the inefficiencies associated with getting that electricity into the car.
Well, right now we don't have enough. We don't have enough grid to charge every car in California, and I'm talking about the national grid. I don't know where these people have tucked their reality and their ability to think logically, but it's not there anymore.
I'm crashing down on them someday. I just don't know when. Everybody's so busy making TikTok videos, I think, that they just haven't noticed that the world's coming down around them.
One day, a bunch of these TikTokers will put their phone down and hit the switch, turn on the light, there won't be anything, and they're going to say, huh?
I wanted to get into ham radio because it's kind of older technology, you know. It's going back to the way things used to be. It kind of makes me feel a lot better than being on Facebook or some other social media on my phone.
Somebody, imagine that.
I struggle sometimes when I get on here and throw my call sign out there. I have a short conversation and there's nowhere to go with it. But this one's gone pretty well. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate it too. You took me home. I'm sitting in the driveway and now I've got to go lower my my antenna before I tear it off.
Can you give me your name again?
The name here is Mike. Give me yours.
It's Brian, K-8-H-A-N, and I live in Greenville, and I'm back in Greenville now myself.
Yeah, N6CLX. What's your name again?
It's Brian, Brian, B-R-I-A-N.
That's right, Brian. I even used it a couple times. All right, Brian, well, it was good. Enjoy the rest of your drive, and I'll talk to you later.
All right, Mike, nice talking to you, 73s.
D7J Mobile.